lovers, and welcome to the Liberty Mike podcast, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the heart of Dixie. I am Michael, and I'm here with Liberty Larry.
How's it going?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
You ready for this?
We're here. We're doing it.
Are you excited about your check coming?
Check coming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Didn't the government just agree to give you another $1,400 to make up for all your losses during the year of pandemic?
I didn't realize we were getting Biden bucks.
Yeah, Biden bucks. You got it.
We're getting Biden bucks.
Yep. Yep. Wow. $1,400 for a select...
I spent all of my Trump bucks on a gun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's probably a good investment.
I felt like it was. Yeah. On the way out, Trump bought me a gun. Super nice of him. I appreciated it.
Yeah. That is definitely worthwhile with a Democrat president coming.
And now, absolutely. I felt like it was a good investment. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm getting more money from Biden, I'll do the same with it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Wasn't a bad choice. I don't know what exactly I spent. I think my Trump bucks are being inflated away in savings.
In an account somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was committed to not let that happen.
Yeah, you're smarter than me. I should have bought Bitcoin, obviously.
Hey man, that wouldn't have been an investment, right?
Absolutely. Well, I did a little math on this actually. So this bill that they signed that's giving you your extra $1,400 is a $1.9 trillion bill.
Really?
Right. And so there's about 330 million people living in this country, like including children.
I feel like that's too many, but I haven't figured out a way to combat that yet. But
well, the pandemic didn't do a bad job. I would say
it was a start, right?
The lockdowns killed who knows how many people.
Countless.
Yeah. I'm sure you could count them if you tried.
It'd be tough because you'd have to figure out like if it was actually the lockdown that killed them or mm-hmm. just like.
Well, I mean, you can do excess suicides, excess overdoses, excess domestic abuse. You know, there's a lot of ways that you could do that.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
Excess starvation. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, $1,400 a person. Of course, it's not actually going to everybody in the U.S. It's a subset of the working population or the working age population, I guess. If you're making less than, I can't remember.
I mean, you have to pay your taxes. That's true. Because I know a lot of people that don't pay their taxes that didn't get the stimulus checks.
I got you. So. Okay. All right. So taxpayers that in years past have earned less than some certain amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even if you give the $1,400 to everybody living in this country, 330 million people, that comes up to just under half a billion.
Wow.
So it's like less than a quarter of this bill is actually going to, you know,
to the people who need
normal
it.
Normal Americans.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, just to illustrate how corrupt this whole thing is.
Yeah.
And this is Biden's bill, remember, not Trump's bill. So yep. We all knew how corrupt Trump was.
Oh yeah.
I think we know how corrupt Biden is too, but we try to ignore it more.
Yeah. The media tries to ignore it more.
Yeah. So I think the total that has been given out per person.
Yeah.
Because it's like we got 1,200 and then 2,000 and so that's 3,200 and then this 1,400. So that's 4,600 per person.
Yeah.
If you paid that 4,600 to all 330 million Americans, that still only comes up to about $1.5 trillion. It's still less than this bill, this one bill.
The one bill, yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention the other three bills that made all that happen.
I tell you, like, so I'm not a big fan. Like, I mean, of course, I like mailbox money as far as like stimulus checks coming, mm-hmm. but the way we're doing it's just crazy. But just think if they had what would have really truly been a stimulus is if they took that whole bill and just parsed it up and gave all of that money directly to the people and just injected all of that money into the system.
Yeah, but we're not lobbying enough for that.
Well, no, but obviously not. But like, you want to talk about having an impact, though. Like, mm-hmm. like that would like these small bills. They're not having any. I mean, these small checks aren't having a real impact on the on on working people. Like, it's not. Like, yeah. I mean, it.
You don't think $4,600 is enough money to live off of for a year when you've been put out of work?
Well, obviously it's not.
No. So, okay. Well, you just, you don't know how to make your money last.
Maybe I'm spending it wrong. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I already told y'all what I spent mine on. So, clearly I don't know.
Well, you can get more that way.
Yeah. Well, this is true. But yeah, if you really wanted to have an impact on the economy, if you gave all of that money directly to the people, like, that would have an impact on the economy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that it would be a good one. It may just shoot inflation through the roof. Mm-hmm. But
it will.
Yeah. But it would have an impact.
Yeah.
Like, and it would make people happy at least for a few days. Like,
well, I mean, I guess this is having an impact. There's a lot of governments that are gonna be able to make up for their shortfalls because of this bill.
Well, because that's what this is really about. This is about the mainly Democratic states and counties and stuff like that. But it's Republican counties too. Yeah. That are
how much money did they shell out to airlines for shutting them down?
Oh yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either, but it was a ton. Yeah. But it is about saving some of these states and county governments and stuff like that that have just, for whatever reason, I mean, they blame it on the corona, but a lot of these counties and stuff were going bankrupt anyway.
Yeah.
And a way to bail them out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about bailing out local government.
And business.
And business. It's about business
that's
too.
Connected.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, let's see. What did we spend on the terror war last year?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it was at least a trillion.
Oh, it had to be. Yeah.
You know, it seems like that money could have been added in. I can think of better things to do with that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I can't remember the specific details of this, but there was, some socialist communist proposing years ago that they could take the money that they were spending on the military and buy every unhoused.
Yeah.
People inflicted with a lack of housing, or however we're referring to homeless people these days, could buy every one of them, a reasonable house on the wrong side of town. Yeah. And it would only cost some many tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah. A couple of years worth of the wars we're fighting, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not even close. Like, you could have done this several years in a row and not have added up to the cost of the war we were fighting. I mean, that was the point, is that the amount that we spend on the military was so much more than would be necessary to put every single person in this country in a house.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
And instead we're blowing up people on the other side of the world and making them not have a house.
Yeah. If that, yeah. You know, sometimes we're just blowing it up in the air and not hitting anything.
All right.
But we'll get into more detail on that a little later. Yeah. There was a story that popped up that I thought was just kind of interesting, considering the way the narratives have been running through the Trump years, that I thought was worth mentioning. Are you familiar with Cornel West? Do you know who he is?
Vaguely. I've seen him. He's talked on PBS a few times. Like, I know who he is. He's a guy with the crazy hair.
Yeah. Definitely. With crazy hair.
Yeah. That's how I know him.
Well, he's a well-respected intellectual, internationally. He's a brilliant guy. I mean, I just disagree with him a lot. Like, he's a radical progressive, and he, you know.
I was going to say, when I've seen him talk, I've usually not really agreed with him, but that doesn't mean he's not intelligent.
Yeah, he's definitely a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're going to have somebody make a bad case for something, he's the guy that you
I'd rather have it, the you know. Smartest guy in the room do it.
Yeah, right. So he was recently denied tenure at Harvard. Now, he was tenured at Yale, and then he moved to Harvard before, and he was tenured at Harvard before, and then he left Harvard because he had some spat with the president of the university. I don't remember what it was about. It was a while back.
Yeah.
But he's back at Harvard, and he's been there for 5 years, and he's had positive reviews for 5 years, and so he requested tenure, and they denied him, like, outright. Like, they didn't even have a hearing about it or anything. They were like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
So when he was asked why he thought that he was denied tenure, from this guy, I would usually expect like the kind of the Chris Rock reaction, you know, like, because I'm a black man. But no, that's not what he said.
Yeah.
What he said was that he thought that he was denied tenure because he's been a vocal critic of the Israeli government's treatment of the Palestinians.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Just to show you that our racism against the Palestinians in this country is apparently stronger than our racism against black people.
At least in this instance.
Yeah. Or our fear of being accused of being anti-Semitic. One of the two. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was interesting, considering the for the last many years, there's been this really strong pushed narrative to divide the races.
Yeah.
And that was not, but he didn't, it didn't occur to him that that had anything to do with it. Now, it also could be just as easy that the reason that they denied him tenure is they were like, well, you had tenure before and you left because you got in a fight with the administration and we don't want to deal with that again. I mean, that could be it. I don't know. But I would say that it's not out of bounds that he's correct.
You're probably right, and I'm not and for him to have brought that up as the reasoning is interesting in itself.
Yeah,
that he didn't just automatically lean on the race card. That's like, no, like these opinions are what I think has brought this.
Yeah, it's kind of a taboo.
Yeah,
thing.
And it is a taboo thing. Like, I mean, there's no question about that. Like,
yeah, somewhat related, the U.S. is once again bidding for a seat at the U.N. Human Rights Council, which we used to have a seat on the U.N. Human Rights Council, and Trump withdrew our representation, the U.S. representation there, because they had maintained censure against Israel for their occupation of the Golan Heights and some of these things that we've now told them that it's okay that they have, but is absolutely against international law.
Yeah.
What they captured during the Six-Day War back in 67.
Sounds
somewhere
right
in there.
Yeah.
It's part of the UN international law is that you aren't allowed to keep conquered land. And you're not allowed to settle it, and
which is,
so on.
By the way, the reason we don't own Iraq.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason that we don't own Iraq. There's a few other reasons too. Like,
I mean, we went in and overthrew their dictator. Like, I mean,
we definitely did that, and
like, I mean,
we installed a different one. And
and we installed a different one. Yeah, like,
well, he kicked us out though.
Yeah.
Right after that, he was like, "Okay, thanks for your help. Bye."
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
but the fact that we didn't make it the 51st state, like, because that would have been taking land.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Israel has done to some Syrian territory. And of course, like, if you consider the Palestinian territories independent, nobody really does. But if you were to consider the Palestinian territories independent, same thing.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that there is, a real division. Like, if you are a Jew, you have Israeli citizenship, and if you are not, you do not. You are a resident.
Yeah.
a non-citizen resident of Israel. And that's the kind of thing that we would really frown on anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is that Trump withdrew because of unfair treatment to Israel by keeping them under censure when we weren't doing that to other countries, or when the Human Rights Council wasn't doing that to other countries. But the truth is that Israel is quite openly flaunting or ignoring international law.
Yeah.
And so there's a fair reason for it.
Yeah.
You might say. You might say.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have a Israel Palestine episode at some point, because there's just too much to go over here, and there's a whole lot of myths to bust about that. But it's not going to be tonight.
Yeah. That may be a long one.
Yeah. I've got like a page of single spaced 10 point type notes about that. And I keep saying, well, we're going to do this, but we just haven't yet.
Give me some notice so I can try to at least
read up a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, because you may be educating me as much as the audience.
That's okay. I don't mind. I like to lecture,
Yeah.
And then at the same time, just shifting a little bit again, Israel is okay. So of course Biden wants to get back into the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA. Yep. And
seems to be proving more difficult than.
Well, it's because he's trying to add additional requirements.
Yeah.
In order for us to re-enter the deal that we left voluntarily.
Yeah.
and the claim is that Iran has been breaking the deal.
Yeah.
But no, it was the U.S. that broke the deal. We withdrew without reason, essentially, at least according to what...
According to the requirements of the deal,
yeah. And put sanctions back on them, which was absolutely against the agreement. But we weren't a part of it anymore, so, you know.
Yeah,
but as a result, Iran started to move past some of the limits within the deal, but that's part of the deal also, that if somebody withdraws, if they're placed under sanction again, they're allowed to move past. And they very openly announced every time they were making changes. So they have actually continued to function within the terms of the agreement. But now, in order for us to re-enter it, we're trying to tell them that we need to add more stipulations, and they're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, right. We already worked hard to get to this once, and then you walked away.
Yeah.
And who's to say in another 4 years you won't do it again?
Exactly. So. Now, at the same time, Israel is pushing the U.S. hard to stay out of it. Israel was opposed to the deal to begin with. I'm trying to think of a way to put this delicately, but there, I don't think that there really is a way. Israel's real fear about another Middle East power having nuclear capabilities is that they will no longer be able to act without regard to other nations in the area.
Yeah.
Right now, they don't have to worry about the consequences of their actions because they're the only nuclear-armed state in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And their real fear is that if another nation, I think, is nuclear armed, that they can't act, they can't attack their surroundings, you know, without considering possible consequences.
Yeah.
Like right now they can defend themselves better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And that will no longer be true if they're they're no longer the nuclear monopoly in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it's really about. But anyway, Israel through, you know, so Benny Gantz, who's the defense minister of Israel, he has threatened to, quote, take action against Iran's nuclear program if the U.S. rejoins the JCPOA.
Yeah.
Now, we've covered this before. But Iran's nuclear program is entirely civilian, and it always has been.
Yeah.
They did some preliminary inquiries into the possibility of developing nuclear weapons nearly two decades ago.
Yeah.
But they discontinued, and all the intelligence agencies agree, and I don't always put my faith in the intelligence agencies, but when it's against their interests and they say these things, then it's probably worth listening to. But all the intelligence agencies agree that they stopped their preliminary inquiries in 2003. And why is that?
Yeah.
The reason is because we overthrew the reason that they were considering nuclear weapons in the first place. When we put down Saddam Hussein, they no longer had the threat on their border.
Yeah.
And there was no longer a reason to consider it. Yeah. And the truth is that the Grand Ayatollah, the Khomeini and then Khomeini, have both had edicts against weapons of mass destruction. And in fact, Khomeini, who made the original one, they continued to not seek out weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, nuclear, while Iraq was using chemical weapons against them in the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s, that we were giving him, giving Saddam Hussein the materials or allowing sale of the materials.
That was when he was our ally. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. We pushed him into war against Iran. Yeah. Then we helped him develop a chemical weapons program that he was using against Iran and Kurds in his own country.
Yeah.
During that entire time, Iran didn't try to develop weapons of their own to do the same thing because there was this edict that the Ayatollah put out against weapons of mass destruction. It said it's against the tenets of Islam.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand not trusting the Iranians, but, you know, part of the agreement. So they're also a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Yeah.
Israel's not, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They refused to sign, Probably because they have somewhere between 100 and 300 nuclear warheads, undeclared nuclear warheads, and they're not so secret nuclear program.
Yeah.
But Iran was a signatory to the NPT, which already opened up the country to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association Agency. No, International Atomic Energy Agency, to come in and inspect their nuclear sites. And they would already know if any nuclear material was being diverted into a weapons program. And of course, the JCPOA just added additional safeguards.
Yeah.
So we can say with pretty strong certainty that they are not developing nuclear weapons. Of course, under the agreement, they could only enrich to, like, I think it was 3.67 percent pure uranium. They don't have the facilities to produce weapons grade plutonium. Uranium has to be something like 95% roughly, I think, pure to be used as a bomb and a warhead.
Yeah.
And that cat wants back in now. Yeah, I know. Exactly. He just can't. Oh, well. They're a long way from that. And the only thing that they've done to enrich uranium greater is when they diverted material to enrich uranium to 20% for their medical program.
Ah, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
There is no weapons program in Iran, but we keep playing this because that's a way to get, you know, people worked up about it. And I suppose that's it. I guess I don't have anything else to say about that. It just the fact that our great ally in the Middle East, Israel, as opposed to us entering into another treaty with a country that would make the world a safer place, that had made the world a safer place because it takes away the reason to go to war.
Yeah.
But they don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
In their own self-interest. And they clearly have a strong influence on foreign policy in the U.S.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without question.
So.
Yeah.
And then I guess the last thing is kind of to pick up where we left off in the last episode.
Yeah.
So we had these Capitol riots that were blown out of proportion, and you may remember Grenier, however you say his name, talking about using counterinsurgency tactics in the U.S. against U.S. citizens as a result of this, And you may remember the quote from Solzhenitsyn from Gulag Archipelago about how easy it is to draw other people into assumed guilt by association when you start going down this path. And, you know, essentially like the dangers of a big central government, big, strong central government.
Oh, yeah.
And we keep moving more and more in this direction. And so without trying to be, you know, having too dark an outlook, I did want to talk about like the possibilities of where this can go why we need to step up and say, no, we're not putting up with this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So as I understand it, they're using every tool at their disposal to identify people that were involved in the Capitol riots. They have been using cell phone data to identify where people were and draw them in that way. Banking data. So banks have been giving up information about their customers who reside elsewhere but had used or had made purchases in the D.C. area at that time.
And that's a scary thing to me to know that they're – I mean, it's not like you don't always know, like, hey, you pay for something somewhere else that's being tracked. But to know that they'll willingly just hand that information over to the government anytime it's asked for.
Well, I mean, think about it. Most of those banks are only still in business after 2008 because of the government handouts.
Yeah. I mean,
they've been paid off already.
They're basically owned by the government already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but it's a scary thing. And the same thing with the cell phone tracking and stuff like that, too. But it just shows you the world we're living in nowadays, you know. Of that you're tracked everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to stay off that grid. And like I said, I mean, yeah, you can go to a dumb phone that doesn't have all the tracking software and pay everything in cash and do all these things, but
well, even then it's bouncing off a tower.
It's still, yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, they can still identify you if they want. And the, you know, they're using facial recognition software for surveillance video.
Oh, yeah.
Et cetera. And then I wanted to particularly, I wanted to talk about drones in this case.
Okay.
Now, they weren't using drones, to my knowledge. Yeah. But there has already been, and I'm not sure if they ended up doing it or not, but there's already been plenty of talk about using military drones in the continental United States to patrol the border, as an example.
Yeah.
I think that they used drones to track... maybe that was too far back. I was thinking they used drones to try and track down the Unabomber.
I don't know.
But I can't remember. But it may have been somebody else. But I'm pretty sure that drones have been used to try and track a wanted person within the United States.
There's been talk of...
military drones, like specifically.
Yeah. Well, as like the military drones grow older, I've heard talk of using them like in cities, kind of like the police use the helicopters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the same type thing of just kind of like state surveillance, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they talk about a lot, but there's been mention of it before. And that's now you're really talking into, okay, like what kind of place do we want to really live in here? Where like you can be sitting in your backyard and have not even see drones flying over here.
Yeah. And we're getting into an Orwell style giant scary state kind of thing.
Exactly.
I mean, I do think that the Aldous Huxley style, big powerful state is scarier because it's more hands off and like, you know, more insidious. But, the Orwell style, giant state seems to be more in the direction that we're moving.
Yeah.
And so I've been reading Scott Horton's new book enough already.
Yeah.
I'm like halfway through it at this point. But it was when I was reading about Pakistan last night. That I started really thinking about this, like how terrifying this can be.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about, you know, Obama stepping up the drone war in Pakistan after he took office. And they ended up, it like changed the way of life of people in Pakistan.
Yeah.
That they, you know, they were counting on cloudy, rainy days because sunny days was dangerous to go outside because the drones were flying.
Yeah.
That you hear them all the time, but you can't always see them.
You usually see them, yeah.
And bombs would drop out of the sky and kill seemingly random people.
Yeah.
They had a very close-knit culture, but it spread out because of this, because you didn't want to move around in groups of more than two or three. Because you're likely to eat a missile, a rocket, or a bomb.
Because maybe one, if you're in a group of four, there's like... three times the chance that somebody in the group is like on some list, whether they rightfully so or not. Like, you know.
Or if you just see a group of four or five military aged males, which is, you know, 14 what they were to 60 or whatever, then you just to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, you might. So they stopped doing school. You know, there was like all these things that quit and they were terrified.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can imagine. I mean, I can understand that type of scenario, you know.
And the way they use these things. And okay, so, well, let me talk about a couple of the methods that they used. And we've talked about this stuff before, but like, you know, one of the things is link analysis.
Yeah.
So you talk about using cell phone data. You know, link analysis is essentially saying, we know this person's a bad guy. This person contacted that person, so they must also be a bad guy. And then these two people also contacted this other person, so they must be bad guys too. All these people are now linked, and so we consider them all to be guilty.
Yeah.
Because we know one of them's guilty. And actually, just like in the Solzhenitsyn bit, that first guy might not be guilty either.
Yeah, you don't actually know. Yeah. Like.
But then, I mean, it's good enough for them to be a target now.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is actually like the more frightening part is signature strikes that we talked about before. Now, signature strikes sounds like it's a very formal process, you know, that, oh, okay, well, we know exactly who this guy is, but that's not true at all. What they're doing there is that they're using data, generally, again, you know, cell phone data, and somebody's movements match a pattern that an insurgent might do. So, I think the example that I gave when we talked about it on this podcast before, and I'll try and reproduce it as best I can, is that say you're on your way to work.
Yeah.
So you get up, you leave your house, you're on your way to work. And then your cell phone's not in your pocket. And you're like, oh, damn, I dropped my cell phone or something. So you pull over to the side of the road and you start hunting under the seat or whatever. And you can't find your cell phone. So you think, well, I must have left it back at home. So you turn around, next opportunity, and you head back home. And then on the way home, it buzzes and it was in the seat next to you. And you're like, oh, geez, there's my cell phone. So you stop and you turn around again and you start heading back to work. Now, somebody looking at it at the other end that doesn't see what you're doing says, well, this matches the pattern of somebody who's trying to lose a tail, who's trying to, a counter-surveillance tactic.
Yeah.
All right? So why would somebody be using counter-surveillance tactics? They must be a bad guy. Better drop a bomb.
Yeah.
And this is the way, and they have no idea who you are. Yeah. And that was the case with these two. Signature Strikes makes it sound like they know who they're bombing, but they're not. Yeah. They're just using patterns of behavior that they say would match the behavior of an insurgent or a terrorist, and they're dropping bombs on that person.
In reality, it's just some guy that got lost.
Yeah.
Because that would be me. Yeah. Like, I get lost anywhere. I got lost on the way here a couple of times. I know I've passed by that Dollar General before. Like,
an old friend of mine used to say that he had a terrible sense of direction. He said, I have a sense of direction of a yak. I have no qualms about stopping at every little gas station along the way to somewhere. So I want second opinions on directions, yeah, man. I can't find my way to anything.
I'm the same way, man. I can get lost anywhere, man. My car's got GPS. I still get lost.
I didn't know yaks had such a bad sense of direction, but another thing is, okay, so somebody goes and they purchase a whole bunch of fertilizer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, people purchase a whole bunch of fertilizer when they're trying to make a bomb, right?
Yeah.
But they also purchase a whole bunch of fertilizer if they own a farm.
Yeah.
So, and this sounds absurd, but this is the kind of things that were happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yeah.
These are methods that the U.S. intelligence agencies have used to target people.
Yeah. Well, and it's our government has already used this in a foreign country somewhere, like these exact tactics.
Yeah.
And they're not being very bashful about at this point using those same tactics here.
Yeah.
To fight this new enemy that we have in basically the Trump supporters. I mean, if you really want to be just honest about
more
it.
More or less the right half of the country and the far left tenth or something. Yeah. Anybody that's outside the mainstream. And if you think that they won't use this on an American citizen, let me remind you of Anwar al-Awlaki, who they dropped a bomb on in 2011, or I think it was 2011.
Something like that.
Now, Anwar al-Awlaki, he's not a good guy. I mean, he was inciting violence against America. Of course, he was doing it because he was radicalized. He's an American citizen, a Muslim cleric that was here. And he became radicalized by the terror war.
Yeah.
And he ended up doing a lot of speeches and putting them up on YouTube. And he inspired a lot of people to come out and fight against the American invaders in the Middle East, which is really what we are. But he is still an American citizen and entitled to all the protections that the Constitution offers, including a fair trial.
Yeah.
And including not having things taken from him without due process.
Yeah.
But he had his life taken from him without due process because we identified him in Yemen and we dropped a bomb on him.
Yeah.
He was assassinated. He's an American citizen assassinated by the U.S. government, by Obama's government, the great progressive Obama, assassinated by Obama's government without trial.
Yeah.
Without due process.
Yeah.
So if you think that they won't do this against American citizens, you're just wrong.
They've already done it. Yeah.
Yeah. And think about, all the history that we know of what has been unleashed on American citizens in the past anyway. Yeah. I recommend everybody go to Netflix and watch the Wormwood documentary.
Okay.
The Wormwood documentary is about the death of Frank Olson. Now, this guy was a scientist who was working, he's a chemist, I believe. He was working at Fort Detrick. And, of course, Fort Detrick is where all the chemical and biological weapons are researched in the U.S. military. And, yeah, he really wants in.
Yeah.
Should I let him back in? Nah. We'll give him another chance?
No.
No? Okay.
He had his chance.
Yeah. He started to question some of the things that were being done. He got the idea that possibly the U.S. was using biological weapons in Korea, in the Korean War.
Yeah.
And he started to question what he was doing a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he was a dissident and maybe a threat to unleash or, you know, release some information, to leak some information that the U.S. public wasn't supposed to know about, that the U.S. government was doing.
Yeah.
And he fell from a 13th floor window in New York with another with a CIA guy in the room with him.
Huh.
And, you know, that guy said, well, he just woke up and the guy went out the window, you know, kind of thing. But the Wormwood documentary is about the evidence that they've uncovered that would suggest that the CIA killed him.
Yeah, threw him out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but the point of this is that, you know, Sidney Gottlieb, I don't know if you're familiar with him. I actually have a book coming about him. It's supposed to arrive Sunday, I think, called Poisoner in Chief. But he was a frightening kind of scientist that was researching mind control in the CIA. He was part of the MK Ultra project and so forth. And so was Frank Olson. That was the original story, is that he was administered LSD and he got out of control and he jumped out the window.
Yeah.
That was the story. Anyway, like the MK Ultra project, if you start looking into it, you'd see that they were giving American citizens high doses of experimental drugs without their knowledge and without their consent. And they were doing it in prisons and so forth too.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
to think your government won't do some crazy stuff is just absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at what we did to the Japanese during World War II.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah.
Like the people who were Japanese, you mm-hmm. know, of descent.
Yeah.
Like locked in concentration camps. Like, we did that.
Yeah. Well, and what Woodrow Wilson did to media people, that journalists that weren't on board.
Yeah.
You know, there's been plenty of examples.
Yeah.
I mean, to paraphrase Chuck Palahniuk, from Fight Club, you have to be prepared to accept the possibility that your government doesn't like you.
Yeah.
They may actually hate you.
Yeah.
And there's definitely some disdain for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Without question.
So, anyway, the point being, like, if you think about these tactics being unleashed on American citizens, that, you know, that certainly us putting this kind of information out on this podcast.
Well, and it makes you even wonder, like, so you were talking about like radicalization.
Yeah.
Like,
throw some camo knitting over the top of my house.
Joe, man, you might need to. Yeah. We can, hey, there may be come a time we can only have this podcast on rainy days.
Yeah, you're right. You know? Luckily, we get a lot of those down here.
Yeah, we do. But like I say, I may not be able to drive here in the rain. After.
Well, it's after dark, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can the drones not see you at night?
They probably have some like FLIR stuff, you know, the forward-looking infrared, they probably, I don't know.
So rainy days it is, man. Yeah, it's not cloudy. So. I got to stay in the house. I can get drone bombed on the way to meet with Mike.
Yeah. No, so. That would be no good.
But it makes you wonder, kind of like you were talking about people being radicalized, like mm-hmm. that even can start becoming a loose definition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been called radical plenty of times.
Oh yeah, me too.
Like all I got to do is start talking about politics, and the radical gets thrown out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I have to add this kicker about the Frank Olson thing.
Yeah.
I had to look this up afterwards, because I was like, no way, that can't be true.
Yeah.
So. They brought a lawsuit against the CIA for murdering Frank Olson.
Yeah.
And the federal judge threw out the lawsuit. But in his decision, he said that he was convinced by the evidence that Olson had been murdered by the CIA.
Yeah.
And so you say, well, why then did he throw out the suit? Because you can only sue government agency under the Federal Tort Claims Act. And it is worded in such a way that you can only sue the federal or the government entities for negligence. So if they had killed Frank Olson accidentally,
that would be negligent.
Then you could have a lawsuit. But if they kill him on purpose, then you can't sue the government for that.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, and you would think that at that point, but you're caught kind of in that middle section there,
yeah.
Like, yeah, because he hasn't been convicted of murder, so
yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. I was like, no, that can't be true. But then I looked it up and it seems to be
wow
true.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it is a frightening world out there when we're moving more and more in this direction. And, you know, part of the problem is back to the silencing the dissent.
Yeah.
And so I've got another quote from Solzhenitsyn for you here.
All right.
He said, the prolonged absence of any free exchange of information within a country opens up a gulf of incomprehension between whole groups of the population, between millions and millions.
Yeah. You start looking at that and you look at what we're dealing with right now. I mean, you already have groups that just intentionally don't want to speak to one another.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can tell pretty quick. Like, so me and you are kind of immune to this in many ways because we're in the middle anyway. Not really the middle, but we're so far removed from what the standard person believes, either one side or the other. But like, people on the left just don't want to talk to people on the right, and pretty much vice versa.
Yeah.
And so it's a voluntary just like not exchanging of ideas.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I had a relationship end with one implication that we politically didn't match up.
Yeah.
And she said to me, "But I get the impression that you don't share your politics with a lot of people." And do you remember what you said to me when I told you that?
Yeah, I have the same politics as everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you do what you want to, and I'll do what I want to. Like, that's my politics. Yeah. Like,
I love that answer. I was like, oh man, I got to remember that. So I don't have I have the same politics with everybody. You do your thing as long as it doesn't, you know, as you don't impose it on me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great answer.
Gotta start using that more, I think.
I know.
Especially us as libertarians. Yeah. Like, that's something that should be thrown out there regularly.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, because my response was like, yeah, the best we've done in a national election was like 3%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have the same politics as everybody. Because everybody believes in freedom in some respect. At least they claim to.
Yeah. 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 Well, and this is, you know, another thing that we should probably stress is the great majority of interactions that you have on a daily basis are libertarian interactions.
Yeah.
That all they are is interactions, relationships that are consensual and
voluntary.
And voluntary.
Yeah.
So,
and you're absolutely right. Because I know people that don't talk to other people all the time voluntarily. I'm not going over there and talking to him either. Yeah. Jerk. You know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, that's absolutely okay.
And I do think that the libertarian approach is a real let's see, what would be, I'm trying to think of a medical term and I can't think of it. A cure, I guess.
Ah, yes.
There was a better word that I was trying to come up with, but I couldn't come up with it.
Anyway. Cure's pretty good though. Yeah, like, it really is like antidote.
Yeah. There you go. Libertarianism is often, like, when applied properly, is often an antidote to being an asshole.
Well, yeah. Well, and I was going to say it's an antidote for a lot of the issues we have as a country right now. Like, I mean, if we embraced more voluntarism and stuff like that, the country could be a much more peaceful place.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly a huge part of this partisan divide in this country, is that whichever side wins gets to impose their will on the other half of the country. Yeah. And that's why it becomes such a fight every 4 years when we have these elections, because somebody is going to get screwed.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's going to control the other half of the country. Mm-hmm. And neither of these groups are small government anymore. Even the Republicans, like, they can make that claim all day long, but the truth doesn't bear that out.
Yeah.
And everybody pretty well knows it. It's not like a big secret that, oh, they're, you know, big, they're all big government Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the funny thing is that the government, the Republicans tend to be bigger government than the Democrats right now, because nobody pays attention when the Republicans spend a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah. Or impose gun control.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, that completely gets brushed under the rug, but...
I mean, it's one of those things.
4 years
like
of Trump gave us more gun control than 8 years of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a fact. Like, I mean, it's just what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that only Nixon could go to China.
Yeah.
You know, like, only Trump could have pulled us out of Iraq and Afghanistan. He didn't. But, no. I mean, it would take a Republican to do that, because a Democrat's going to be called soft and, you know, liberal and pinko or whatever, you know, like, all the insults go to the Democrat, because the Democrats are traditionally anti-war.
Yeah.
They're not really very anti-war now, but they're traditionally anti-war, and so they're seen as weak in a lot of ways. And so they can't do that kind of thing for being accused of being weak.
They're more empowered to drop bombs over Syria.
Yeah. On the other hand, the Democrats can do some things that the Republicans can't do, that the Republicans would like to do, but the Democrats can get away with it because it's traditionally a Republican position, and they would be under scrutiny for it, but the Democrats can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And but the answer, of course, is that we end up again back at this kind of monoparty system where or single party system. That's single what we agreed party. On. Right?
Yeah, we did.
This kind of single party system where they create this divide to, you know, keep us fighting with each other instead of looking up at them. But the truth is they're not really any different. Like the mainstream Republicans and the mainstream Democrats want the exact same policies.
Yeah, they're basically the same party.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
And eventually, I think that they probably will just be.
Will merge.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've already seen some of it already. I think you'll start to see a merge of the two, and then you're going to end up with a more extreme right wing.
Yeah. The neoconservatives and the neoconservatives that stayed Democrats are going to come together. The center of the right and the left are going to come together and form one giant party, whereas the radicals on either side, the libertarians on the right and the progressives or socialists on the left will split off and be their own thing.
Yeah.
But they won't be able to amount enough power to overcome the big centrist, quote-unquote centrist party.
Yeah.
I don't know. That may be where we're heading. That's a really scary thought.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like the sounds of that at all.
No.
I still like the idea that we need to convince people that they're just splitting their vote, voting for Democrat or Republican, and they need to vote Libertarian.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think if we, because I do believe like that's something that could happen. Mm-hmm. Like, make them split the vote. Enough with this us splitting the vote. Like, make them split the vote and vote us in.
Well, and, you know, maybe you can just, I don't know if this actually really appeals to people. It does to me, but, you know, I'm a radical.
Yeah.
Put libertarians in high-level offices because we will devolve governmental power down to the local level.
Yeah.
Best we can.
And anyway. I'm convinced more and more going into tax season that we need to talk more about taxes.
And spending.
And spending too, but I mean, taxes are what affects people directly.
Yeah,
I mean,
you start talking. That gets my brother on board.
I tell you, man, you start talking about. I'm saying, man, like I've got shirts all over the place that say taxation is theft, and and they get attention everywhere I go.
Yeah,
and it's almost always positive.
Yeah,
unless it's a government employee, it's always positive.
There's a whole lot of right on, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Like I mean, that's a message we should get behind, and one that I think could be a winner under the right circumstances.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. I think I really think that the biggest danger is our foreign policy, but I think you're right. People don't pay attention. It's far away.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't pay attention.
The stuff
to
that's going to get people into the voting booth is taxation and a campaign that says we're going to do something about it.
Yeah.
Could be a winner.
Yeah. Well, and of course we had the opportunity, great opportunity in 2020 to push about the lockdowns.
Yeah. That's another message that I think is a big winner.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of sitting on the sidelines there that nobody's picking up the ball with.
Yeah. I don't think it'll matter in 2024. Hopefully they don't still have us locked down. I mean,
well, let me tell you something. If we're still dealing with this come 2024, going to be a winner issue for somebody because somebody will pick that up
Well, there's no way they have more sense than that. There's no way they can keep people locked down that long.
I tend to agree.
People's patience is already at its end. There's no way.
Yeah. I don't think this stuff will make it to the midterms.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Otherwise heads will start rolling and governments recognize that when coming.
Yeah, exactly. These people aren't there because they're dumb.
Yeah.
So,
well, some of them are.
Well, plenty of them are, but at the same time, they can see the writing on the wall.
So. But just be afraid of your government. There's good reason to be afraid of your government, and we are giving them every opportunity to get bigger and more oppressive.
Well, and don't be afraid to speak out against it because we have to. Like, we've got to be willing to stand up and talk and not bend the knee.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that expression.
I love that expression.
Oh, man.
Use it all the time. Don't bend the knee. Usually in the don't do it.
Yeah.
I rarely tell people to bend the knee.
And I said be afraid of your government, but the other half of that is don't be afraid of the narrative. Yeah. Don't let the fear get to you, because that is a powerful tool of control.
Well, and we've already seen that, like 9/11 is a prime example. It's probably the most recent of our time of
pandemic.
I guess that's the most recent of our time, because we're still living through that.
Yeah.
But prior to that, 9/11 is like because just the fear after 9/11 was incredible.
Yeah. Well, there's a theme that runs from that, of course, through the Iran stuff and everything else is the nuclear weapons scare.
Yeah.
You know, oh, they can nuke you in your jammies.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, so we've got to do this now. Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, this could happen. We don't want to find out that way, do we? You know, all the BS that's gone.
Yeah,
gone with that. But there does seem to be a move. You have government officials openly talking about using counterinsurgency tactics against American citizens in the United States.
Yeah, and that
pay attention.
That cannot be ignored. Like, yeah, ignore that at our own peril.
Yeah.
And I say ours because it's all of us. Like, it's not just for the radicals like me and you, Mike. This is bad for everybody.
Yeah. Wolverines.
Woo!
All right. Well, that's enough for tonight, I suppose. I don't know. I don't have anything else to talk about. I'm trying to think back and, like, whether the tone of this podcast was what I was hoping for when I was going into it. Doesn't matter now. It's recorded. We're not doing it again.
We're not doing it again.
So we expect to be back here in a week. Yeah.
Even if it has to be a late... We're pulling a late nighter, so this will pop up for everybody tomorrow, but we're late casting this.
Yeah.
It's been a long... I've been going since 4:30 this morning.
Yeah, it's all Liberty Larry's fault.
It really is. It's been a long...
I was ready to go hours ago.
It's been a long day for me, let me say that.
So in the meantime, you know, follow us on all the places and subscribe on all the places that you can, and like and share and comment. And you can always send me an email at michael@thelibertymike. Happy to hear from you if you have topic suggestions or just information you think that I need.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear it. Get it.
Yeah.
Have it sent to me, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So michael@thelibertymike, and you can go to thelibertymike.com. We're on YouTube at The Liberty Mike, and then, of course, iTunes and Podbean, also The Liberty Mike. And is that everything? Oh, Facebook.
Yeah, we're on Facebook, too, as long as they'll have us.
Yeah. We need to expand that into some other things soon, probably. Right. Yeah. We'll be back in a week when we finally get this right. And in the meantime, try to stay free.
Life's short. Live free.
Ciao.
Later.